In the play you're about to hear, Arnold Yarrow takes the main characters from Chekhov's play Three Sisters and imagines their lives some years later. We present Isabel Dean, Judy Parfitt, Dinah Sheridan, John Carson, Timothy West, and Thelma Whiteley in After Moscow by Arnold Yarrow.
On board now. Come along, tear yourselves away. On board.
Now then, what are you ladies waiting for?
For you, my friend. Will you lift our luggage on the train?
Lift it yourselves.
On board. On board.
Allow me to assist. All these are yours?
Mine are my sister's.
Well, even for three, it's rather much. The bigger pieces will have to stay by the door. Are you leaving Moscow?
Only for a while.
What, this much luggage? For a while?
A woman likes to change her clothes if she can't. We didn't expect to find the train quite so crowded.
Oh, no. No, you would not have known about the refugees.
Refugees?
Well, 200 of them. Women, children, some grandparents. They're menfolk dead or imprisoned in the revolutionary struggle. We're giving them a spell in the country to rest and recover.
And who are we?
Oh, committees of well-wishers. Here and elsewhere. Not political. Our concern is for the people. This seems to be the last piece.
Thank you, friend. Thank you, sisters.
How kind. We are most grateful to you.
Oh, my pleasure and privilege, comrades. A safe journey. And a safe return. Moscow is a thrilling place to be in this autumn. Don't stay away too long.
Is the family room, or as we would say, the sitting room.
I see that, since there are chairs enough.
Yeah, but you should have seen it in the old days. Those pillars have only been curtained off since the war, with the difficulty of keeping such a large area warm, you know. But on the other side of these pillars is the ballroom.
Ballroom?
A very small ballroom, but big enough. Big enough. On summer nights they used to dance here, with the doors open to the veranda, and the veranda windows flung wide. A fiddle and a piano and the strains of Tchaikovsky floating out.
Opera.
Oh, yes, yes. Even in our small town. From Moscow they came here. Opera, ballet.
Fairy tales. Bourgeois fairy tales to distract the fat gut's attention from the empty bellies outside.
Oh, there weren't too many empty bellies in our town, Citizen Davidov. I may say that I, as chairman of the town council, always took it upon myself, personally, to ascertain, nay, even to ensure that all those in need...
Yes, yes, yes. Cease your braying, citizen ass, and get on with the job.
Yes, of course, of course.
The committee requires details of all vacant accommodation by 3 o'clock this afternoon. It's now 10 minutes off midday.
If the committee requires, there will be done. But forgive my asking, Lev Pomarvich, but for what purpose does the committee require...
For billeting the refugees. What else?
Refugees.
Don't know everything, do you, ex-chairman of the town council? Hmm? Some 200 destitute comrades will be arriving at midday on the train from Moscow.
200.
So you see, we need every bit of space we can find, even the width of a straw mattress.
Forgive me again, Lev Pomarvich. And of course, if the committee insists, but you said vacant accommodation.
Well?
With the most humble respects, the house we now stand in is not vacant.
What?
No, citizen, the Protsarov family, despite all attempts to put them out are still in occupation.
How many Protsarovs?
That depends, citizen, on how many potential residuees, sisters, cousins, great-aunts one should actually include.
How many live in the house now?
Strictly speaking, Natalia Ivanova and the two children. The servants, of course.
Three, not counting the servants. Hmm? They won't be servants much longer. One woman and two children in a house this size, it's an obscenity. It always was. And in these days...
Oh, I wonder
about it's only Miss Potchka, with the citizen committee man of town council affairs. Like the old days, eh?
What do you want, girl? Can't you see that we're busy in here? Oh,
please, it's the clean laundry to take through and put away.
In the ballroom?
Well, with so much of the house shut up, and it's handy in there, next to this room where the mending can be done.
You seem to know a great deal.
If it'll only take me a moment.
Wait. Whose garments are those? Your mistress's?
Mistress?
They might do for the refugees. Let me see.
Give that back. They're mine.
A servant girl with more than she stands up in. You haven't stolen them.
Oh,
you shut up. If she has stolen them, she'll be punished. We'll have no thieving servants thinking they're the new masters. Any requisitioning will be done by the committee.
Confound your committee.
What?
With the most humble respect, citizen, but Safotchka is no servant. She is the daughter of the house.
A daughter?
Allow me to present Sofia Andreevna Protzerov, daughter of the widow Protzerov.
I understood. Two children.
Safotchka is one of them.
She is a young woman.
Well, if you call 17 a young woman...
At 17, 16 even, our young heroines are knee-deep in mud and blood, while ladies with lily-white hands stay at home sorting their laundry. What can you spare from it, girl?
Spare?
For those with only rags to wear.
Well, whoever needs can have.
Well, let's see what there is, then. And state how many more of each kind of garment you have put away. You may keep two or three of each kind. Make the rest up in a bundle. Your mother's garments as well.
What right have you?
Requisition rights, comrade. You will receive an authorized receipt for whatever is taken. Now, what do you call this? A chemise?
Yevpomarvitch.
Embarrassed, are we? Those with bare backs have thicker skins. How many more chemises,
citizen Lout? Shame. Young girl's modesty.
What are you muttering about?
I was saying, if we don't hurry with the inventorizing...
Well, get on with it, then.
At once, citizen.
Uncle Mitya, aren't you going to speak up? Will you allow this, without even asking Maman?
Safotchka, if I could do anything...
Very well. Let's ask Maman. Bring her to me, she shall be asked.
She will be told that strangers are in our house, making demands.
You didn't tell me, did you?
Huh? What?
That you're one of the family. Uncle Meteor.
Oh.
I understand now why there's no spare room, no spare clothes. Each holds on to his own. You're holding on for them.
Oh, pardon me, citizen, there is no relationship. Not in any way, that is... No... Her calling me uncle is a term of affection deriving from my long friendship with the family. Mm. And now, if you'll allow me, I've finished in here. We can go through.
The sooner the better. Ballroom, eh? Big enough for 20 to dance in. Or to bed down.
So we have a requisitioner in the house, a committee man.
Bobby.
Let him tell me
please,
what's...
Please, Bobby, I wish you hadn't heard.
Well, I have.
Well, at least wait for Maman.
Maman? What can she do? It's man's work. Where is he?
Well, he was here with Uncle Mitya.
Bobby. Sotchka. Children. I'm so out of breath. What's happening?
Nothing yet. Not until I find him.
Don't look for him, Bobby. Don't even think of it. Come, angel child. Come away.
Maman, let go of my arm. And you, Sotchka.
Maman's right, Bobby. You go. Leave the talking to us. Well, if he's at all a reasonable
talk?
Man...
Talk? Reason? You don't reason with his kind. They talk with guns. We'll do the same.
But, Bobby, angel child, why speak of guns? You don't even have a walking stick.
I have these arms. If you wouldn't hang on to them, let me go.
No, Bobby, no.
Very well, let him shoot me. What better target could he have than I, as I am weaponless, held captive by my own mother and sister? Here, comrade revolutionary, here in the breast, plant your first bullet.
I can't with your back to me. Why should I want to shoot you anyway? Have you given me cause?
You insulted my sister.
Then you should be wanting to shoot me.
I don't have a gun.
That makes it difficult. You must be the other of the two children.
Yevpomarvitch, allow me to present...
So, you've something to say at last. For whatever it's worth.
Natalia Ivanovna, if I might explain...
You shoot us. You brought him here, didn't you? Without even asking. If only my poor dear husband were alive, you would never...
Let's leave poor dear father where he is, Maman. He'd only do the same as he always did. The first sign of trouble, and it was time for my practice, my dears, and off to his room with his door locked and his fiddle under his chin. A coward all his life.
Bobby!
A fat coward.
Oh, may he rest in his grave.
I must interrupt, since I thought it was me you were going to pick a quarrel with.
Ah. Yes.
Well, pick.
What do you want? Who are you? And what have you come for?
Want? I want a better world. I, Lev Pomarovich Davidov, representing the Soviet of Soldiers and Workers' Deputies of the Fifth Province, I have come to demand from you a share of your shelter, food and clothing. And I see from the bulging trunks in the ballroom that you have plenty to spare.
You demand! You and your Soviet! You can demand in Petrograd, in Riga perhaps, but not here. We have our own district council here, democratically elected.
Yeah, that's so buggy. But the district council has agreed to form a joint committee together with his Soviet. And in any case, in these times, a council without guns...
No, I'm not afraid. I defy his Soviet, guns or no guns. My bare knuckles against your pistol.
Stand back!
Please!
Be reasonable!
Father in heaven, no, Bobby!
Let go, Mamor!
You! Unannounced, but the front door was open. I was not even certain that I was in the right house until I heard the name Bobik. There was a Bobik crawling on the carpets last time I was here. You must be that infant grown up. And you, dear lady, being the mother of that infant, you are the wife of Andrei Sergeyevich.
What? Andrei? I was his wife. His widow now. Lord help me.
Lord help all widows and orphans, if you can find the time. And this young lady? Oh, no, it can't be possible.
Sir?
Nearly 20 years ago, a young woman stood here so like you.
They say I'm very like my Aunt Masha. I wouldn't know. I haven't seen her since I was a child.
Ah.
She went to Moscow.
My daughter, sir. Sofia Andreevna. But you, I don't see...
Veshinin, Lieutenant General. I was Lieutenant Colonel, commanding the battery here, the last time I had the pleasure of calling upon you.
Oh, there were so many of them. Colonels, lieutenants, ensigns, always coming and going.
Oh, I seem to remember. Now, wasn't there a fire? Your wife and the three little girls were rescued in their nightclub.
That's so, but you're enlarging my family. There were only two girls.
Oh, two, three, a detail. But I got the substance right, eh? Not much of consequence in the annals of our town that evades my memory. General, if I may introduce myself. Protopopov, Mikhail Potapich, chairman of the town council. Until recently. I was then, if you remember.
Yes, and you were quite the dandy then.
Well, man gets older.
And you, comrade?
I wondered how long you could ignore me, damn your impudence.
And forgive me for leaving you till last as the one stranger. You're not from this town.
I've been through it before, as you have.
Did we meet then?
Not unless your wife bought pins from my father.
Oh, a peddler. But you, his son, are a soldier, and more, since you demand of these people...
It's not I who demand. The joint committee of the Soviet and the town council.
Yes, go back to your committee and tell them that this house, its inhabitants, and its contents are to be left unmolested.
You can't instruct...
Tell them that General Veshinin, who still commands the military forces of the 5th province, requires this house for his temporary headquarters, and just in case that pistol that you're clutching should accidentally contradict me, let me warn you, my escort have sharp ears. They would slaughter you on the doorstep.
We'll see what the committee has to say to you and your escort.
I'll go with him. Perhaps I can... God be praised, General, for sending you to the rescue.
I was coming anyway.
Yes.
General, whether God sent you or you came of your own accord, this poor, helpless, sorrowing widow is in your debt for eternity.
Mamor, don't make yourself ridiculous.
I? Ridiculous? You ingrate. When the General saved your life.
That fool wouldn't have shot me. He wouldn't have dared. Am I to thank the General because it's he and his escort and not the workers' Soviet that's going to occupy our home?
Bobik, where are you going? What are you going to do?
Don't worry, Mamor. I'll face one armed man, but a whole troop of them.
But where are you going?
Out!
Bobik, angel child, stop and listen to me. Bobik!
So, you are your Aunt Marcia's niece?
Yes.
Well.
It's not true, is it?
What?
That you and your troops are going to occupy the house.
No. How could you tell?
I've been watching your eyes.
Aha, they do betray oneself.
But you are a general.
For the time being.
Why have you come here?
Well, I've been commanding this area for some time. Since the southwestern offensive regrettably came to a halt. If only the guns sent us by our devoted allies had been fit to fire... But to answer you, why have I come here today after so many weeks, staring at the name of this town on the map in my office? Seeing the ghosts of the past in each street, each room, in one particular garden. Or today I looked out of my window and saw the leaves falling, and I felt I must visit that garden once more before the last flush of autumn dies away. See it as it was when I made my farewells. to each bending tree, each nodding flower. How they stamp their image in the mind.
You were happy in that garden?
I nearly began to live there. So very nearly. All it required was a moment's courage.
I don't believe that you lack courage. You must be brave. You fought battles. You spoke to that young man like a hero.
Heroes do not survive, young lady. And I'm still here.
God has looked after you.
Oh, him. He may have noticed me once or twice, but I fear there were many days when he was looking the other way. No, my dear young lady, a survivor is a particular kind of creature. He's born that way. Thereafter, the heavens may fall upon him, his loved ones die, his world collapses, despair crushes his ribs until it seems that his heart must burst. Still he survives. It's a knack, you know, like riding a bicycle.
Did your loved ones...
What? Would you allow me, young lady, to step out onto the veranda for a brief while and sit by the window alone?
Looking out at your garden?
There. I don't often sit out here now. But there are chairs. Shall I move one?
Oh, allow me, young lady. And if I may open this window.
Of course. The smell is so good.
Is it as you remember it, General?
Well, there used to be an avenue of fir trees, I'm sure.
Close your eyes. You may see your avenue of fir trees. Even hear voices.
What? What's that? Young lady?
Someone would have welcomed us.
Is there no one?
No one at all. Oh, do come in, sisters.
Should we?
There's no sense in waiting out there. Bring your hand luggage in and let us at least sit down. Oh, after such a journey, such a sweaty throng of refugees, I had hoped there'd be a bowl of clean water ready for us and perhaps a glass of tea.
But, Marcia, darling, they'd no way of knowing, certainly not about the refugees, and perhaps not even when we would arrive.
Why shouldn't they know? They were informed. Word was sent from Moscow. All they had to do was confirm the time of the train.
Letters are not always delivered. Trains don't always arrive on time. People say they will travel one day and only set off a week later. It's commonplace. Who knows these days when anyone will arrive?
Oh, that's right. Make excuses for them. You'll be trodden on, my dears, just as you've always been. But whatever excuses you make for the family, where are the servants? There must be servants. There's always been servants. How else would her ladyship manage?
Masha, my dear, you are talking too much.
I know. I know. But if I stop talking, my heart will overflow. I shall disgrace us all with my tears. Say something for me, Irina. Anything. Any nonsense. Please. Let us keep talking until...
Did you see the station master sweating under his cap? With several hundred refugees piling their baggage on his platform and the only droshky already taken by us.
We should really send it back.
How can we, with our luggage still piled on it? You'd think those soldiers by the roadside would have offered to help. Who are they, do you suppose?
Who knows? There are soldiers everywhere. It's all right, my dear ones. The moment has passed. I'm strong again. Strong enough. And we must be strong. Our beloved house. Our beloved home. How can we let it go?
Not as beloved as it was, would you say, Masha? Those hideous curtains. And why should the ballroom be curtained off anyway?
Oh, they're nothing. Nothing. It's the memories. The ballroom. Do you recall, Alia, Irina, when we were still quite young? Even before I left home, just ourselves. Andrei used to play the fiddle.
Badly.
Exquisitely badly. While we three held our skirts out and danced.
Put the tray down, Sotchka, and we'll ask General...
Mama!
Oh! For all the impudence! How dare you enter my home with your bag?
bags and your baggage.
But, Mum, these three ladies...
are trespassers, since it was made as plain as daylight to that young man. There are to be no Moscow refugees in my house. No refugees at all. Do you ladies understand?
Natalia Ivanovna.
General, did you see these ladies enter my home? Why did you not tell them to go away?
How could I, dear ladies, since they're your own sisters-in-law?
What? Andres?
They are. I knew they'd come. Aunt Alia, Aunt Irina. And you must be Aunt Masha.
Oh, my little niece, give me your hand. Let me look at you. Ma jeunesse. Oh, ma jeunesse.
Is it truly Alia?
Masha, Irina?
Your husband's three sisters.
Were you not expecting us? We wrote to you from Moscow.
From Moscow? Not a word.
There, you see. Letters don't always reach their destinations, even at the best of times. But you, sir... who do recognize us.
And sat out there eavesdropping.
Too embarrassed, I imagine, even to tap upon the veranda door. Since you know us so well, how is it that we don't know you?
But we do. Alexander Ignatievich.
And I thought I'd changed out of all recognition.
Changed? No. You are still the same person.
For those who see past the grey hairs and the scarred face.
Who is it, Masha?
I remember now. The lovesick major.
Oh, no, Aunt Irina. He was a lieutenant colonel when he came to this house all those years ago. He told me.
But even before that, he was a lovesick major.
Are you still lovesick, General?
Still in love, yes. It's a sickness I don't die of.
Mamma, we're neglecting our guests.
Oh, indeed. What are we thinking of standing here? We must prepare rooms for your aunt. Are you alone, my dears? Where are your husbands? And what brings you back here? Oh, I have so much to ask you and so much to tell you. You know, of course, that Andrei mortgaged the house. And not just once, leaving me with a burden. And now it's these Bolsheviks who threaten to dispossess me. Only today... But there, we can't stand gossiping all afternoon. I'll hear the rest of your news later. Come, Sabotchka. There's work to do.
At once, Mamma.
Wait.
Aunt Masha?
So it is true, little one. You are to be cast out on the roads.
Unless we can prevent it. We would have come sooner, as soon as your letter arrived, but there was so much to arrange.
We were determined our dear house should be saved. If only for your sake and Bobik's.
Where is Bobik? Does he still live at home?
Oh, yes, but he stormed out of the house just before you arrived, angry with the general.
Our nephew seems to make a habit of anger.
And with Alexander Ignatievich, of all people.
Oh, young men are allowed to be angry.
But not for long. His stomach won't let him stay cross. He'll come whistling back when it's time for dinner. He always does. Well, General Vashinin, will you stay to dinner with us?
If my escort will allow me.
I suppose that means yes. I must go and help Maman. There'll be so much to do.
Well now, sisters, and you, General, shall we sit down?
Thank you.
I don't suppose there's any hope of being shown to our rooms for ages yet. Natasha will consider every possible combination of beds and bedrooms before she decides which arrangement is best. She hasn't changed.
We don't change, do we?
Alexander Ignatievich, you were always a philosopher. What is your opinion?
Oh, you remember... Well, then, well...
Now, before we settle down to philosophical discussions, Irina, I think we should bring our luggage in and send the carriage away.
I shall detail two of my strongest men to assist you.
Oh, don't trouble to come down yourself and instruct them. I'm sure if I say the general commands it...
Well, tell them old Greybeard requests. They're much more likely to obey.
Are you coming, Masha?
It won't need Masha as well, Irina. You and I can manage.
As you say, or you shall...
Maria Sergeyevna.
Alexander Ignatievich.
Such formality.
Oh, we've only just met again. And that by chance.
Yes. I could say what a remarkable coincidence, if I believed in coincidence. But then I don't believe in fate either. Not an ordained fate.
What do you believe?
Oh, things happen. They just happen. Our reasons for returning to this house may be different. Our decisions to come here were certainly made at different times. It just happened that we both arrived within the hour. If we consider the countless pairs of individuals whose paths never cross more than once, the occasional reunion of just one couple is of no significance. Of no significance whatsoever. Marcia.
Please, not yet. Go on talking philosophy. From that we can progress to history. World history. Russian history. The history of two Russian souls. And so by degrees
we... A very natural progression, to which I've given particular thought in recent years. And what better venue could we have for considering such profound thoughts than out there, on the veranda, looking upon the face of nature itself? You will accompany me?
Of course.
Of course. May I sit down?
Of course.
At my age, philosophy is easier taken sitting down. Let me bring a chair for you, too.
Thank you.
Do you think those chairs had always been set that way? They belong so together? But that comes at the end of my progression, starting with credo, I believe. I used to believe in everlasting improvement. Today the wheel turns, tomorrow it must turn faster. Today there are three wise men, tomorrow 3,000. Today there is one good deed, tomorrow's children will inherit a world of total goodness. But now that I'm actually seeing tomorrow's children...
You're straying from the path we mapped out, from philosophy to history. Tomorrow's children are not yet history.
Thank you for reminding me. So, on to history. World history. Which reflected that theory of everlasting improvement. Once there were savages. They killed each other. The savages became civilized, wrote books, painted pictures, made music. And they also made alliances, created great empires. And you note how swift is my progression. We are very nearly at Russian history. But we left the great empires of the world doing what? Could it be killing each other? With guns that bark louder and spit further than any savage ever dreamed of. And the Russian guns are no exception. Not even the guns commanded by Alexander Ignatievich Bershinin of the field artillery. I hope you admire the adroitness with which I've glided through Russian history to the history of one of our two Russian souls. As it might be, myself and yourself. Am I to be allowed to talk now, Marcia?
Why did you come here? Today of all days. Did you know?
No, I neither knew that you were arriving today, nor that you'd ever departed. Your lives have been closed to me since the day of the battery's departure, when I last set foot in this house. Until an hour ago, the circumstances of that tragic day remained fixed in my memory, frozen, a tableau under glass. Irina, grieving for a husband-to-be who no longer would be. Olga, longing for a husband who never was. You, loyal to a husband who never should have been. The three of you, hopelessly longing for Moscow. Moscow. Oh, if only we three could return to Moscow. Well, how was I to know that returning to Moscow had become part of your history? Does that history include husbands, old and new?
Irina married. Yes, she married. She has two children, a boy and a girl. They're with their paternal grandmother now. Mm.
And her husband, where's he?
Solyoni.
Solyoni?
Yes. He's in charge of a depot at Murmansk. He's there now.
And Olga?
Dearest Olyushka, she would have been so happy with a dull, commonplace husband and plain, well-behaved children. Olya is now principal of an academy for enlightened young women. I think she's happy there, some of the time. Some of the time.
And yourself, Masha?
Oh. Don't speak of my happiness. Look. There are still squirrels. Do you see?
Marcia, I must speak. I must know.
Very well, then. You ask about my happiness. It was buried in that garden. all those years ago. But you know that. Together, we dug the grave.
Mitya, as if I hadn't enough to do.
I'm trying to tell you, Natasha, if you will be still for a moment.
My guests will be down to dinner, and I still dress for the kitchen.
Your other guest, Tasha, the general?
Oh, outside with the soldiers, instructing them, perhaps, if they're to protect us.
A word of warning, Natasha, put not your trust in general.
And what exactly does that mean?
As to meaning, we must each decide for ourselves. I can only tell you what I have just heard.
Mikhail Potapych.
All right, coming to. In a few enough words. Bolshevik Military Revolutionary Committee. Now, what do you think of that?
Think of it?
I was with Citizen Davidov when he met three comrades, three of his own kind, who arrived on the train from Moscow. When they came together, it was like the boyars in the opera plotting the overthrow of Goodenough. I couldn't overhear all of it. Well, you understand, man in my position. Mm-hmm. Well, listening would be undignified, and dangerous. But I did hear those four words, Bolshevik Military Revolutionary Committee, and several days ago, and any day now, Tavarish, and by word of mouth from Finland. Now, well, it's as plain as the Jewish nose on Davidov's face.
Jews, Bolsheviks, Finland. What does all this have to do with me?
It means, Tasha, that despite all efforts, particularly mine, this house is not likely to remain in your possession for much longer.
Dear God in heaven, what will become of us then?
As to becoming, Tasha, a thought has been in my mind. But it rather depends. Tell me, Tashtashia, all those years ago when you and I first... And then Sotchka, may God protect her, came along.
What are you saying, Mitya?
Don't I simply ask you?
That my Sotchka, Andrei Sotchka...
It is possible.
May God forgive you for the thought. Who else could she be but Andrei's daughter?
Why, it could be the sun, the moon, the stars. As they say, it could be windows in heaven. Your assurance, Natalia Ivanovna.
Well, here she is. You've only to look at the family likeness. Isn't she the image of Andrei's sister?
So she is. So she is.
Maman, the soup's bubbling, the roast is cooked, but there'll scarcely be enough dumplings.
I thought I'd counted.
No, Maman. And certainly not if Uncle Mitya is also staying to dinner.
Staying? If I can find him a dumpling. I suppose I must see to everything myself.
Will you stay to dinner, Uncle Mitya?
Uncle Mitya. Yes, yes. I am your uncle in name only, you know, such girl.
Oh, I know.
There's no blood relationship, no consanguinity. Not that I ever doubted. But having been reassured on my own account, I can now assure you...
Oh, I never doubted that myself, Uncle Mitya. Or would you rather I cease to call you uncle?
Well, I think under the circumstances, under the prospective circumstances...
Very well. Mikhail Potapych.
Mikhail, yes, yes. Savochka. Sotchka. Coming the events, casting their shadows before. I mean, in the eventuality of your being homeless, without a protector, I would feel it my duty.
Allow me, Auntie.
Confound it. Just at this moment.
This is the sitting room. But you know that.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you all the same, Boris Andreevich.
Come now, Aunt Masha. I'm sure you were never so formal with me in the past.
Oh, but you're not a bit like the little fat Bobik who used to squeal at me from his high chair.
No, I must have been a monster. But I've learned since then not to eat all the goodies that Maman still insists on setting before us.
Very wise of you. So, you've stopped being a Bobik. What do your friends call you now?
Barenko.
Barenko? It has a revolutionary ring, does it not, Sophie?
Yes, Aunt Marcia.
Are you,
yes,
Barenko?
I'm a true revolutionary, Aunt Marcia.
Forgive me if I seem stupid, but there are so many kinds of true revolutionaries. Socialist revolutionaries, progressives, Mensheviks, Bolsheviks, Trudoviks. All I've heard of you so far is that you're often angry. But so are they all angry. Enlighten me, dear Borenko. What sort of revolutionary are you?
I'm a Februarist, Aunt Marcia.
A Februarist?
We made the revolution. Trampled the imperial dynasts underfoot. Dismissed their lackeys, like Mikhail Potapitch.
Oh, really?
And set up democratic assemblies. Now, under the guidance of the provisional government, we are poised to inherit a new Russia, a nobler Russia, which the Bolsheviks, creeping back from their comfortable exile, think they can snatch from us. But they shan't, Aunt Masha. Let them try to repeat the treachery of July. We shall smash them back again.
We travelled on the Moscow train with the destitute families of those who were smashed back after July. I suppose they were Bolsheviks, but they were so sad, so sad.
Well, are we ready to dine?
I believe very soon.
While you're waiting, a chair for you, Aunt Olya, and for you, Aunt Irina.
He's quite the handsomest footman, is he not?
There's more than looks to it, Aunt Irina. I'm a very handy man. I need to be.
We have no servants, you see.
There's the old couple who live above the coach house, but really, they're so old, aren't they, Sotchka, that it's we who look after them.
You children look after...
We do very well, Aunt Marcia.
Well, Bobby cuts wood, cleans the windows, tends the garden. He's even learned to grow vegetables.
Sofotchka scrubs, sews, scrapes my hand-grown vegetables.
Maman, well, Maman organises.
Disorganises.
Oh, you do her less than justice. Being helpless oneself is not a bad way.
Child, I have cut the dumplings in halves, but you will never believe there aren't enough soup plates now, and I've searched and searched. What is amusing you all? Is it so funny being without soup plates?
Hang the soup plates, Maman. Do you realise? We're all of us together now. Aunties, Maman, Sotchka, I will propose a toast to the house, to the family.
With respect, Babik, if I am to remain, I should perhaps be included.
Uncle Mitya, of course. Aunties, you remember Protopopov?
Mikhail Potapitch.
There must be something to drink.
My raspberry cordial.
Oh, no, not the cordial. Well, never mind. It'll do. Some glasses, Sotchka. You know where they are?
Yes, of course. General, dear, you are just in time. Will you take a glass of cordial with us?
Thank you, dear lady.
And then I think we're ready to dine.
If it could be soon, there are rumours floating on every current of air.
Rumours?
As soon as we've eaten, I must hasten away.
Again?
Only for the evening, Maria Sergeyevna. In the morning, I promise I'll be back.
Is your wife with you, Alexander Ignatievich, and your daughters? There were two daughters, as I recall.
The girls will be quite grown up now.
And your wife? Is she well?
They're all dead.
Oh. Lexia.
May God in heaven preserve their souls.
I would rather he'd preserve their lives. The girls, anyway. She, I think, is happier. She tried hard enough.
How, dearest friend, can you tell us?
Well, there's little in the telling, just the contents of a small bottle. I thought I'd successfully kept such noxious substances away from her, but not this one. She poured the entire contents into the meal they were having.
And you?
I survived.
Here we are. The glasses at last. And one for each of you. And the toast is to a Russian home. A Russian family. Nowhere do hearts beat so fiercely as under such a roof. To the continuing heartbeat. A Russian home. A Russian family.
A Russian family.
In heaven's name, what is it now? Can you see, Bobik?
Yes, by the gate, where the general's escort is waiting. An argument with that man, Davidov.
And his three comrades from Moscow.
They're not all arguing. Some are embracing.
Well, that is comforting. Comrades in arms, it does the heart good.
He's making a speech.
Davidov?
No, he's coming towards the house. It's one of his comrades addressing the soldiers. The one with the goat's beard. Damn his impudence. At my gate, I'll send him packing.
Bobik, in the lion's mouth? General, I beg you, forbid him.
Dear lady, it's no use forbidding. But my advice, young man, if you approach my veterans, smile first. Ask their permission before you speak, and whatever
ask
you say...
Ask their permission in the on my land. I'll speak when I choose and say what I think.
Angel child, don't go.
Bobby.
Citizen Davidov.
Yes?
Have you come...
I have something to say to the widow and the two young people. The rest of you may go.
Stay where you are, all of you. He has the audacity to force himself upon us the second time in a day and instruct my guests
young lady,
in my
for your sake, I will speak out. Make him listen.
No more words. Actions speak louder. The sword before the pen. Uncle Mitya, hold the door open. General, protect the ladies. I shall throw him out.
Stand away from me. I'll make you listen.
At pistol point, eh? It always comes to that. Well, go on, then. Kill me and trample this house underfoot, or get out of it while it's still ours.
Borenko!
It's all right, Aunt Marcia.
It's not all right. Not when you look just like that fat, squealing Bobbik in his high chair.
Aunt Marcia!
Look, we can all just be calm for a moment.
Who is this young man?
Davidov. Comrade Lev Pomarovich Davidov.
Comrade?
Of the 5th Province, Soviet of Workers and Soldiers' Deputies.
A Bolshevik?
Is this a time for politics?
Without a doubt, lady, it's the time.
Why so?
I can't tell you. But I can, without betraying, give you fair warning. Let it be seen now, plainly, that you are not against the revolution. Open your hands freely.
Why are you telling us this?
Because I'm not a monster. My pistol speaks only for freedom, justice, for the right of every human soul to its equal inheritance.
But my nephew, too, desires a new Russia, a free Russia. Why do you shout at each other so?
Because I want a free world.
See, Aunt Masha, he betrays himself. What does he care for Russia? It's plain he's not even a true Russian. We've already fought our battle for freedom. Our revolution has been won.
Your Kerensky and his fellow criminals are already plotting to bring back the old regime. But the working class revolution, the true revolution, has hardly begun.
Lev Pomarovich Davidov, Comrade Davidov, the imperialist war has already lasted 3 years. The workers' revolution may last even longer. And beyond that, there will be counter-revolutions and counter-counter-revolutions stretching on and on until the very last trumpet day of history. In the meantime, do you think we might go in to dinner?
Oh, my goodness. The soup. I left it. It will all be burned. Bobbik, show your aunt the way. Sabotka, don't forget the plate.
Will you allow me a moment, aunties, while I show the comrade his way out?
Bobbik, I'll see that he leaves.
Well, in that case, my arm, Aunt Masha. General, shall I choose a partner for you?
A word first, Comrade Davidov.
Well?
Take care how you stir up my soldiers. They're veterans, war-weary, war-hardened, angels in adversity, wolves when they're roused. They'll kill anyone for a rotten potato, what they'll do for your promises.
Alexander Ignatievich, don't talk of killing. If you will be so kind as to give me your arm.
As you wish, Olga Sergeyevna.
That's only you, Aunt Irina, requiring a partner. Will Uncle Mitya do?
I did think that perhaps Safochka.
Well, Safochka will be busy with the comrade and the soup plates.
It's you and I then, Mikhail Potapich.
Coming.
Do you have a tune, Uncle Mitya? From one of the operas. Music for escorting the ladies to dinner.
Well, let me think.
I have it.
I wish I could ask you to dine with us, comrade. But my brother's feelings...
Your brother is too foolhardy for his own good. But will you at least listen to me? There's not much time.
There is all the time in the world.
-20.
Irina.
8. Carry 1.
Irina.
1 moment, Olya. 480. Now, what is it, dearest?
Could you, dearest, do your sums in silence and in a little less space?
I'm only taking up half the table.
Well, even so, I must have room for these account books. Could you not work on the other table?
Masha has those old photographs spread across it. I could ask her.
No, let her be. I'll do the best I can, though. How?
My dears, look at this. You must look.
I can't look at accounts and photographs. It's difficult enough.
Now close your eyes and open them when I say. Now.
Well, it's not a very good photograph. It's so dark.
It was taken indoors by an amateur.
It's a dinner party. Mm. In this room.
And do you see who is at the table?
We three, I suppose. Though who could tell from those faces? That must be Andrei. But who is the pretty young girl next to him?
Oh, one goose fails to recognize another. It's Natasha, taken on the day that she and Andrei announced their betrothal. I'll tell you in a moment how I know.
That must be Chebutikin, who used to live with us.
And spent half his income on ridiculous presents. Do you remember? remember the samovar he gave me?
On that very day.
Really? Then why don't I recognise? Oh, what is it?
Irina? Do you see, Olya? The officers either side of Irina. Her two lovers. Solioni and...
Dear, silly, silly Baron Tusenbach. Such a nice man. Such a pity for him. Such a pity.
See him away from the house, then. I can't stop you there. But under this roof, while I'm master of it...
Oh, master. Tell him, Aunt Olya, who is master of this house.
The moneylenders, Bobik, as near as we can make out from these accounts. Oh, your two aunts and I have some small claim upon the property, which would seem to be the only reason that the mortgagors have not yet been able to foreclose.
What must we do to save it, then?
Pay the debts, nephew.
Well, how? There's no money. There's nothing to sell.
There is.
What?
Potatoes, beetroot, cabbages. Comrade Davidov says...
Comrade Davidov.
Comrade Davidov says that the workers' Soviet will pay fair prices, agreed prices.
Agreed at pistol point.
Do you have enough vegetables to sell?
More than enough. You haven't seen my vegetable garden, Aunt Marsha.
Well, I'd very much like to.
Come, I'll show you. You too, Aunt Irina. Aunt Olya.
Later. When we finish these accounts.
Oh, perhaps I should stay if your aunts need my help.
No. You'll help best, Marsha, by removing yourself, your nephew, and your distractions.
Come along, Aunt Marsha.
If anyone calls...
Anyone, Marsha?
You will send for me. Mm-hmm. At once.
Barenko, I feel so happy this morning. Your cabbages might well make me laugh.
Sophia, child... What will you do if there is nothing left to live on?
Do?
You could come to Moscow, stay with me, study at the academy.
What would I learn, Aunt Olya?
Languages, poetry, literature.
Would that help me build a new Russia?
Your new Russia, dearest, will be the children you bear. We shall find her a good husband, Olya.
Thank you. I'd rather find my own.
Of course. But if you go nowhere, if no one comes to visit... When we were young girls, well, see, from this photograph. Your three aunts entertaining enough good men to provide each with a husband and leave some to spare.
But that's here, in this house, in this room.
Yes.
Then why did you leave? And you, Aunt Olya, why did you so much want to return to Moscow?
Because we so much detested our lives here.
But why?
Whatever destiny we were brought up to expect, your two aunts and I, was not being fulfilled. Could not be fulfilled.
Well, was it when you got to Moscow?
Fulfilled?
How can you ask? When your Aunt Olya teaches at one of the finest academies. What nobler destiny can there be than enriching young minds?
But Aunt Olya was headmistress of the school here. Is it less noble teaching country girls? And your destiny, Aunt Irina? I want to know. I want advice. Shall I dream of my Moscow? Or risk going there and shattering the dream?
If your Moscow is a young comrade with boots and bandolier, with his wild, wild notions...
They don't seem so very wild to me, Aunt Irina.
Ah, may I... The three young maidens. Tum-da-da-da-dum-dum-dum-da. I could almost believe the clock was turned back. But what am I saying? For a moment I thought that Sotchka with her back to the light. You are so like your Aunt Masha.
What is it, Mikhail Potapitch?
Well, but I've come from the council offices. The committee has been sitting. Davidov and his fellow comrades on one side of the table, our local councillors on the other. The committee concluded... and I myself may have... Enough said. But the decision they came to was this, that as your three aunts staying with you, Sotchka, are in a sense themselves refugees from Moscow, the committee will not for the present burden you with any other destitute families. What do you say to that, Sotchka?
But I'm sorry. We still have empty rooms and beds that could be slept on.
But I thought you would be pleased.
You thought wrong, Uncle Mich. No, Mikhail Potapitch. It's exactly what I would expect from a Mikhail Potapitch.
Sotchka, child, chicken... Tell me what you do want, and I will do my best to satisfy you.
I do believe, Olya. No.
No, it couldn't be. It's too disgusting.
Protopopov?
Could it be little Sotchka that brings him here?
Surely it was always Natasha, even though she was married to Andrei.
He still squeezes Tasha's arm when he can. He squeezed mine on the way into dinner last night. But he won't... No. He won't add our little Sotchka.
With your permission.
Come in, General.
Your niece told me I'd find her aunts in here.
Only two of us, I'm afraid.
Now, don't tease Irina. The third is not far off, dear friend. And I promised I would fetch her without delay.
Won't you be seated, Alexander Ignatievich?
Thank you. I cannot tell you how it charms me to see you and your sisters lighting up this room again. Yesterday it was a dull shadow of its former self. Today?
Could it be that your eyes are brighter today?
Am I so very, very transparent? Your niece was able to read my soul in my eyes, and that was before I ever saw...
Dear friend, I wish... Oh, it's long, long since a man's eyes shone like that for me.
Oh, it was a day. I remember well. When not one but two men raged with that inner fire.
Was this the day?
What is it?
A snapshot taken in this room many years ago. You were here, the lovesick lieutenant colonel, seated next to Masha, and either side of me...
Tuzenbach and Solyone.
You remember their names?
Well, they were officers in my battery.
So they were. But Tuzenbach resigned his commission when we agreed to marry... Tuzenbach was already in civilian clothes when
he and Solyone fought a pistol duel on some pretext, a fancied insult, no matter. The real cause was the fire in both of them of their love for you.
Am I to blame?
For choosing one and not the other? No. You chose little Tuzenbach, and Solyone shot him. Solyone, the finest marksman in the regiment who could have satisfied his honour and preserved his reputation by simply sniping the button off Tuzenbach's cuff. Solyone shot his rival dead.
He didn't mean... I don't believe...
I don't know what you believe, Irina Sergeyevich. I can't imagine what you believe since you are now married to Solyone, married to the man who killed your intended husband.
You know, then?
Masha told me.
We met again in Moscow. It was strange. It was as though he were... As though he had become...
The man whose life he cut short.
Yes. You think that I was wrong?
Wrong? No. It happened. It was for that, you might say, that you went to Moscow. I presume you're happy there. You're bound to be with the gentle creature that Solyone changed into.
If only you knew.
Irina, there's mud on the hem of my dress.
Masha... The general has called to see us.
I know. Alexander Ignatievich.
Dearest friend.
I must go and... Well, I don't know what. But I must go. The light in this room blinds me.
May I kiss your hand?
Take it.
Ah. I remember the touch of it upon my cheek. Fingertips tracing my brow, my lips. No, 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 don't. It's an old man's face now. Fitter to look at than to touch.
Are you old, Alexia? Truly, I don't know.
Not yet 80, but well past 60.
I do not hear you. The face I see is neither old nor young. It's the face I've known and treasured since I was a child. Already I've found and lost it twice. And now, a third time.
The third time found is for all time. But why do you smile? Don't you believe me?
I believe that your guns will call you back to your duty. And my husband will call me back to mine. But just for today, just for this moment...
My guns did not prevent me from returning to you this morning. Even though... Masha, there is only today. There is only this moment. Always, always... We sacrifice the gifts offered to us in passing for the sake of some future dream, some wildly desired return to Moscow.
We forfeit our happiness, we destroy the happiness of others in order to achieve those desires, only to discover that the dream can never be reached, never be held, never touched. Not in the way that we touch now. And as for our duty...
Philosopher.
Wasn't it our duty that made cowards of us before, that made us bury our happiness in the garden out there? Your duty to your husband, mine to my wife, and see what happened. I believe... I know that my care, my responsibility, my unceasing concern was a greater burden to her than it was to me. If I'd left her then, compelled her to face the world, make her own choices, she and the children might still be alive.
No, don't say it. Don't think it. It's only a shadow behind you. See, we move toward the windows and it's gone.
It's not the light from outside that melts the shadows, Marcia. It's your light.
My light is needed...
by me.
...to light my husband's days. You don't need me. For 16 years you've found your way without me.
I've survived.
As a rock survives. But my Fyodor has no such granite in his soul. A good man, but a soft man. Without me... he would crumble.
Well, then let him. It isn't for you to hold his life together, not out of duty, out of love. Yes, if you love your husband, go to him and I will wish you Godspeed. But if you simply...
when you go back to your guns, will that be for love? When they bark, will you?
Marcia.
What is it, Olya?
Forgive the intrusion. Our sister-in-law is seeking you, Marcia. She's determined to find you.
Thank you, Alyushka. If Tasha is determined...
I wish she were equally determined to pay her debts.
Marcia. Olya, wasn't this always the coolest room in the house?
So it was.
The veranda kept it cool.
Then why is it so close now?
Those drapes, shutting off the other half. And only one window opened. There's no circulation.
I can't sit down to these accounts again, Olya, without some air. It's so hot. October. Almost a midsummer sun beating down. Alexander Ignatievich. Could you open another window?
Well, I don't know that the lady of the house will approve, but if you promise to shield me from her...
The cat is very stiff, but... there you are.
Thunder. From a clear sky.
Must be somewhere far off. A heat storm. Coming this way.
No, it's not thunder.
Has no one seen... Oh, there you are, Marcia. I was looking all over and Olya and Irina were not being at all... Oh, good morning, General, dear. I didn't see your escort on the road today. It's about Bobik, Marcia. He pays no heed to me. But for some reason it's now Aunt Marcia this and Aunt Marcia that. Well, if only you would say the right word to him.
What is the right word, Natasha?
Why, to stay with me, of course. Look after the house and the garden. Not get himself mixed up with all these ridiculous political goings on. Bolsheviks, Februarists, and I don't know what. Oh, don't interrupt such... Now I forgot.
I've been very rude to your friend Protopopov, Mamma.
My friend Protopopov? Oh, do you mean your Uncle Mitya?
He's not my uncle. He's no relation at all. It's wholly on your account, Mamma, that Bobik and I have played nephew and niece to him all these years, which does not give him the right to speak to me as
speak
if...
Speak to you? In heaven's name, what has he been saying?
He's been saying... Oh, not straight out. Well, that would not be Mikhail Potopich's way. He's been hinting that... as I am unmarried, and he's unmarried, and things being what they are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that all?
What did I tell you, Olya? The trouble is, Mamma, I can't stop myself from laughing in his face.
Oh, but you mustn't, you shouldn't. You should take him seriously. He's clever. He won't ever lack a farthing. But what's a farthing when he and my own daughter... How could he? Wait till I... Where is he now?
Scurrying off home to fetch his coat when he heard the thunder.
But from that thundering we heard, no coat will protect him.
Alexia?
Did you hear all of you? The barrage first. Then a Cossack rode by. Take cover, he warned. They're shelling the outskirts of the town. What does it mean, General?
Alexander Ignatievich, how could
you? No, Olya, don't you see? Would he be here where the shells are falling if he knew
I shall stop the shelling if I can, but as to who ordered it or why...
Well, if you didn't, General, you must tell them. Stop it at once, before someone gets hurt. Or you will, well, I don't know, flog them. Stop their rations, lock them up. What do you do to your men when they are disobedient, General?
Dear lady, that question has been taxing most of our higher command.
Friends! Tasha! Oh, Tasha, dear me.
I just come. I turned straight around and didn't stop. Word has arrived on the telegraph. Petrograd, Bolsheviks in command. Kerensky fled. Provisional government.
Stop, stop, stop. Now take a deep breath and tell us slowly. Calm.
Oh, how can anyone be calm? But there. Second wind now. You heard the guns. Well, all over the country it's the same. Bolsheviks seizing power. Some of the armed forces standing against them, but more often marching side by side. Comrades!
Our militia, General Bashinin's.
They too are calling themselves his comrades, Davidov's comrades. He and his kind are masters now. I warned you. I did warn you. Try my best.
Holy Father, what is to become of us?
If it were only a passing storm... Close the windows.
No, leave them. What a waste. Sound and fury.
And you will order it to cease.
Oh, Greybeard never orders. He requests.
Will they heed your request?
Well, they might. Yes, they might. They usually do. I must go at once. Will you all forgive me?
Lexia.
Shh. Let him go.
The third time found. And lost again.
From your slumbers, arise, ye criminals of war.
What are you doing?
Well, packing. I'll need a few things with me.
Of course.
Do I have the Revolutionary Committee's permission?
There's no need to ask. How soon can you leave?
An hour? From now? I don't know.
You're not afraid?
No.
No. I saw that from the start, when you stood up to me demanding what right I had.
Now I know.
Tell me then.
The right of all men to be free. Equal in the brotherhood of man. Have I learned my lesson well?
Yes.
Have I, really?
Yes.
Don't I get a good mark, then? No, not on the brow. On the lips. Mm-hmm. Thank you. There's a carpet bag somewhere, if I can find it. Tell me, Lefya, who is it that sets the catechism?
What?
Well, those noble phrases, the rights of all men, man was born free, and the others you've been teaching me. Well, who wrote them?
Jefferson, I suppose. John Stuart Mill, Rousseau and the French revolutionists. And our own Tolstoy, of course.
Of course. And they were all men?
Naturally. Why do you ask?
I just wondered. About a sisterhood. Oh, well, do go on with the lesson, Lévia. We got as far as Tolstoy, who's still a long, long way from the Soviet of soldiers and workers.
The link... I thought I told you. The man who synthesized morality with logic was the father of world revolution.
Karl Marx, you did tell me. The German philosopher and economist.
Yes.
What a pity it was not one of our own who fathered our revolution.
Well, there's Lenin, now leading the struggle.
Lenin? Well, that too could be a foreign name.
Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov, known as Lenin. Is that Russian enough?
Hurrah, I knew there was a carpet bag somewhere. Oh, dear, it's very dusty. I'll take it outside and beat it. A Hessian sack may look revolutionary, but believe me, a carpet bag's far more practical.
Sofochka.
Do I get another good mark for being practical?
Yes. Come here. Will you always laugh at me, Sofochka?
Yes. Can you bear it?
Sofochka, your mama is asking for you.
Well, I'll see her before I leave. Before you...
Comrade Davidov. My sisters and I have a question to ask.
Concerning the house.
Since it is partly ours.
There's no need for you to stay, child. Comrade Davidov is going to be very bored.
I'll be ready directly, Lévia. As soon as I pack this bag.
Ma jeunesse. You are going to take her away from us.
Take her? I don't think I dare leave without her.
Will you marry her?
Is that important?
It will be, when these terrible days are over.
Then I shall marry her before that. You understand it cannot be a church wedding?
No.
Comrade Davidov is not of our faith.
I am not of any faith.
Not even the revolution?
You and Sotchka are so alike. Is everything to be laughed at?
We have our tears as well. Comrade, be kind to her then.
About the house. Is this to be a permanent dispossession?
You can't be dispossessed of what you do not own.
We still have a claim on the share that was left us. That was not signed away.
Well, sort that out with the moneylenders.
They have the note of hand on the requisition property for future settlement.
When?
When? When the revolution is complete.
And until then?
Until then, all I can promise is blood and tears. When you leave today, does the widow Protzeroff go with you?
Yes.
And the boy?
We don't know.
You should warn him to save his blood and his mother's tears.
Warn him?
Not to choose the losing side. There can only be one victor in the coming struggle.
Yours?
The masses.
Comrade Davidov.
Yes?
The struggle you refer to has begun.
Yes.
In this region?
Here, as elsewhere.
The military?
Were with us from the start.
All?
The men, yes. Most of the officers fled.
And the commanding officer?
Gershinin?
Yes.
If he's wise, he'll tear off his epaulets and make for the nearest city. As an older man, he should be safer there.
But where is he now? For God's sake, tell us, if you know.
I don't know. In these circumstances, the commanding officers don't fare too well. When they try to command, they have been torn to pieces.
Oh, Pashka, dear heart, don't.
Forgive me. I have only spoken the truth. Please, tell Sofochka I shall wait for her by the road.
Masha.
Dearest.
Oh, sisters. I mustn't give way with so much. Memories. Gifts. Give me your arms. Closer. The mirror shows us one picture we can be thankful for. Here is another. The snapshot that was taken. I said I would tell you, Irina, how I know exactly when. I have reason to remember. It was the first day Vershinin called upon us in this house. Your name day, Irina, when you were 20 years of age.
That must have been a happy day.
Happy? Unhappy. We've lived those days. We shall live many more. And who can say that the best is not yet to come? No, that's not it.
Masha.
Who can say that the best is not here, today? Yes, that's it. Oh, sisters, sisters.
Has my girl gone? Oh, is something wrong, Masha?
Oh, no. Yes.
Of course something is wrong. When you leave us so soon after we find you again.
Oh, but I didn't mean to cause you.
No, dearest child. I weep for your happiness as well as for the sorrow of your parting. Let me kiss you. You will be happy, won't you? All the happiness that I could wish you.
Oh, Marcia.
There. No tears from you.
Zotka, you're... Comrade is waiting for you on the road. If for any reason, well, any one of our three homes will always be yours.
Always. I can bring my Lievia with me, can't I? On the road, did you say?
My respected aunts, your carriage has arrived, luggage is stowed.
We have only to put on our outdoor clothes. Come, sisters.
Sotchka.
Yes?
Come. I want a word with you.
I can only stay a moment.
You can't go before the aunts do. It will take them more than a moment to collect themselves. I want to tell
you... Those are your hard weather boots, aren't they? They're the ones you keep greased. And your overcoat with a big collar. What are you doing with them?
We're looking for a bag to put them in before anyone else notices. I don't think the aunts did. I say that carpet bag's just the thing. Hand it over.
Are you going to Moscow after all?
I'm not going anywhere. You understand?
No.
Idiot. The revolution isn't settled yet. Some of us Februarists will still be fighting on.
Bobik!
Come along, Sotchka, give me the bag.
Oh, you mustn't.
Why not? It's ideal for military service.
You'll be fighting against my Lievia.
Who?
Lev Pomarovich, Comrade Davidov.
Comrade D... Your Lievia?
Yes.
That carpet bag. You're going off with him.
Yes.
I forbid you.
Well, I forbid you to join the Februarists.
Forbid me? You're out of your mind. He's turned your brain... Another Rasputin. You realize that he's a Jew?
He says there are no Jews, no Christians, only oppressors and oppressed.
Which is he, then?
He's a liberator.
You fool. He's made you his slave.
We shall see.
Children. Oh, dear children. Thank God I still have you both.
Maman, I have something to tell you. Oh,
there'll be time enough for you and me to talk on the journey, Sotchka. I must have my fill at these parting words. Bobik, what are you doing with those boots and the big coat? You don't need them out for weeks yet. Are you coming with your mamma after all? Oh, my darling boy, I told you, Sotchka. Our Bobik is a good boy at heart. How could he stay here parted from his poor, helpless, widowed mamma?
Mamma, I'm not coming with you.
No?
If I should go anywhere, it won't be to Moscow.
I don't understand. If not Moscow, then where? Bobik? Sotchka, where is he going?
Don't ask her that, maman. Ask her where she is going.
What do you mean? She's coming with me, with her aunt, to Moscow. Sotchka, what is he trying to tell me? Why are you dressed ready with that bag? No. No. Not both of you. No. I've been a foolish, wicked creature. But not so wicked that I deserve such punishment.
Oh, Mamma, it will only be for a brief while, but until these terrible days are over.
Just the three of you, good.
Oh, Mikhail Potapitch, go away. Well, can't you see that we're...
See, where I can't see is him, coming into Lidov. They did say he was here. Where is he?
My Lievia is waiting on the road, waiting for me.
Oh, so it's like that, with you and the Commissar. That's what they're calling him now. If you thought for a moment that I... Well, never mind. Does that mean you would tell your comrade what he shouldn't know? I haven't brought him so far in order to give him up now.
Give who up?
We came through the vegetable garden and up the kitchen stairs.
I really don't think I can wait any longer. I must sit down.
General! Dear God in heaven, he's been wounded. Help him to a chair, Bobik. Come in. Come in, General, dear. You'll be safe with us.
Sotchka can keep her mouth shut.
Uncle Mitya.
A manner of speaking, Bobik. I'll go out there. Keep the comrade occupied.
General?
Oh, you see, child, I survive everything. Would one of you be so kind as to ask Maria Andreevna?
And Masha. I'll fetch her.
No, Bobik. I'll go. Mamma. Bobik. You will not be wanted here.
What does she mean, not wanted? That wound must be looked at, General, dear. Fetch a bowl of warm water, Bobik, with some salt in it. You can't go wrong with salt, General. If it does no good, it certainly does no harm. And a bandage, Bobik, or an old sheet from the linen press. They might as well be torn up for bandages as left to the Bolsheviks. Oh, what a terrible wound they've given you, General. Thanks be to God it didn't slice your head off.
Dear lady, I'm touched by your concern, but really it's only a graze, a glancing blow deflected by the cap I was wearing. If it was God's will that the cap should be there, then surely his purpose will extend to my continued preservation without any salt water assistance. If the worm of death has already crawled in, then no amount of salt water will wash it away, but I would appreciate Boris Andreevich. Have a mouthful of brandy, if you have it.
Brandy? We're none of us brandy drinkers. There's a little of this cordial there.
Oh, the raspberry cordial. Oh, I'd rather go back and face the sabre that did this. What? Glass of tea, then. Natalia Ivanovna, if it's not too much trouble.
Go and put the kettle on, Bobik. Or would that keep you from running off to join whichever pack of wolves...
Maman.
Well, perhaps I'll put the kettle on myself. While you persuade him, General, it can't be right that he should risk his life. Mm. You wouldn't want a child under your command. You heed the General, Bobik. Heed his words. Is it lemon with a tea, General, or a spoonful of preserve? Oh, well, I'll fetch them both, of course, for our distinguished guest or two. Bobik!
Go on, Maman. I won't run just yet.
Run? Which way?
Well, that's just it, General. You're the very person to settle the question. Knowing my views... You'll appreciate that I can't stand idly by while these parasites rise to power on our backs.
Our backs?
The cadets, General. We support the provisional government. Kerensky, your commander-in-chief. Wherever he sets up his command, you'll be going there to receive your orders. I would like, sir, to accompany you.
Oh, I don't
think... Well, see, I have my military boots and coat. I want nothing but a gun.
Boris Andreevich, put those boots down and listen to me.
Very well, sir.
I've been a soldier all my life, dedicated to the art of death-dealing. I really don't know why. Perhaps it's the simplicity of military combat. There are only two sides, the dead and the living, the victor and the vanquished. But as a soldier, I pride myself that my first and foremost duty is to my country and to its people. And my advice to you, Boris Andreevich Provsorov, The same advice I gave to the veterans who once listened to their greybeard, although I don't suppose that you'll heed my advice any more than they've just done. But my advice for... What am I to say?
General Pashinin. General!
Where is the general?
He's... Oh, what has happened? Help me raise him. Lexia. Do you hear me?
What? Oh, what foolishness. Philosophizing on a bruised head. Oh, Marsha. Third time found, not yet lost, though, eh?
What does he mean?
Nothing. He's exhausted.
Maman's gone to make him some tea.
Go and fetch it. Borenko, don't bring it too quickly.
No, Aunt.
Oh, Lexia.
Oh, hell.
Well. Oh, foolish, foolish philosopher.
Why'd you laugh?
I don't know.
Saber cut on the temple? You find it a laughing matter?
No. Yes, it might have been a death blow.
No, it was meant to be.
No, but really, what poor swordsman your men must be. Is that why we cannot win the war?
My men are tigers, this one was. I've seen him lean down from a galloping horse and slice a melon in two exact halves.
Oh, how glad I am your head was no melon. What a scarred and grey head it is. It should be carved in granite and placed in a niche. Russia's unsung hero. Why was your life spared?
Oh, well, if I believed in a divine purpose, I would say it was my destiny that I should live. But somewhere it is written there is a meaning to my continued living.
But you don't believe.
I know only that I have survived all these years to find you again. To be with you again, to stay with you.
Lexia, it's not possible.
It is if we will it so. If we have the courage that failed me in the garden all those years ago, to take what is offered and pay the price.
I can't. It's too much.
But is it more or less than what you will pay if you reject the offer? Don't you know it's the greatest jest he plays on us ever since Eden? The cost of plucking that apple was eternal banishment. But would the cost of leaving it on the tree have been eternal boredom, eternal frustration, the eternal anguish of never knowing what it would be like to bite the apple and live? He never tells us. We never know what our course would have been had we acted thus and thus instead of so and so, which leaves him free to play the same jest upon us again and again and again.
Which he do you mean? The one you do not believe in?
If he exists, he must be some such sort of jester.
If... It's the uncertainty, Alexia. Not knowing if he exists. Will he make us pay for our sins? What price shall we have to pay?
Do you fear it might be eternal damnation?
We would find fit company, you and I, in that circle of hell. But here on earth, if I go back to my husband, take that Moscow train this afternoon, I will grieve for you. But it's a grief that I've measured before. And I know I can bear it.
And if you stay with me, go with me, wherever I go.
I shall dwell a while in such happiness as I've only ever sensed dimly. Afar off. In the moments before waking.
Well, then.
But the cost of that happiness, Lexia, the cost. Self-reproach, self-recrimination for the rest of my days, and perhaps that reproach would turn upon you. That I couldn't bear.
If you stayed with me today, would you hate me today?
Oh, no, 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 my dearest, no.
Tomorrow we may both be dead. The sun may stand still upon the noontide, the trumpets sound, and all of us, or those of us who deserve it, may ascend to heaven. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. What infamies have been committed in the name of tomorrow? Live now, Marcia. The fruits of tomorrow never live up to the bloom of today.
Oh, you philosopher. It's so easy with words. If we could live by words alone.
Aunt Marcia, I must disturb. I've brought your travelling clothes.
Thank you, Sarchka.
You will write to me.
If you tell me where.
Marcia, are you not dressed yet?
We must hurry.
Will you know? We may be stranded here.
General, will you come with us?
He still has his epaulettes on.
My epaulettes?
The comrade advised, without them, you could lose yourself in the city.
Lose myself? I've often wished I could, but no, it doesn't happen.
Alexander Ignatievich, Marcia, you must persuade him, coax him. He will go with you.
Where to, Olya? To Moscow? To share my dwelling, my husband's dwelling?
No. No, of course not.
No, besides, there's nowhere more dangerous for me at present than on a train, which can be searched while it's moving, with no way out but jumping from the step. At my age, such acrobatics don't come easily. No, when shells fall all around, there's no better place to be than where you are.
Then God be with you, wherever you are.
Well, there is room for us both.
My respected aunts, why are you standing here?
The luggage is all squeezed into the carriage, though it may not be so easy squeezing it onto the train. It seems a bit...
Miss Maman... There you are. Maman, are you ready? Do stir yourself.
Oh, don't shout at me, Bobbique. I'm in no fit state. I had my smelling salts ready, and now I can't find...
In the straw bag, Maman, on the carriage.
But I need them now.
You're not to faint, Maman, until you're safely on the train.
Oh, you heart's unfeeling, boy. Isn't my heart breaking?
Smelling salts won't mend it, Maman. Try this parting kiss instead.
No, Bobbique, my angel child. Such
good, Mama. Ah, you'll have me weeping soon. Tasha, children. Spare an embrace for your Uncle Mitya. Huh?
General.
He mustn't see.
Hide yourself.
Oh, God in heaven, what now?
Out here, General, on the veranda. He might not see
don't
you.
Care. What's keeping?
It's too late, he does see me, if the comrade has eyes.
What is there to see?
Dear friend.
Levya.
Sotchka, I must go. The soldiers' discipline is broken, hunting down all the officers and gentry they can find, even those who don't deserve it.
I warned you, wolves when they're roused, and your slogans, comrade, are so very rousing.
There's never been a just revolution without some blood.
You see.
But you will stop it. You will save those who are still...
Yes, if I can. Are you ready to leave?
Yes. Yes.
No more tears, child.
Little Sotchka, with your carpet bag. You should be in the school room.
Come, Sotchka. Take my hand.
I put my trust in it. God be with you all.
Oh, Sotchka!
Long live the revolution.
I think, dear ladies, with the utmost respect, I would rather be behind my own locked doors as soon as possible. Bobbique will accompany you to the station. Farewell. Farewell. What a pity it is. What a pity.
And where will you go from the station, Boris Andreevich?
I don't know. Friends in town. Yes, that would be best.
That would be best. And don't take those boots with you. They're far too provocative.
No. No. Where will you go, General?
Well, with your permission, I'll stay here. The view from the veranda is so fine.
Certainly, General. And if you want any food, the kitchen is at the foot of the stairs.
Maman, come on, all of you. Aunt Marcia, you've not even put your coat on.
I'm not going.
What?
I'm not going with you.
What is she talking about? If you don't, how will you get to Moscow?
I'm not going to Moscow. I've given up Moscow. What is there in Moscow that I can't find here?
Your husband!
Yes, my husband. Olyushka,
I'll explain to him as best I can. Oh, Alexander Ignatievich.
I could say it is written, but I'm forced to admit that I had a hand in the writing of it.
What is going on?
Maman.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I suppose it's farewell for now, Marcia. Why is your aunt staying behind, Bobby? Will no one tell
you? You're all in the carriage,
Maman. I can't get into the carriage without my
soul,
Bobby.
Marcia, dearest sisters, to think of it. You two in Moscow and I here. We have never been so far apart. And never so close. Hold me closer. Now go. Go quickly, my dear ones. Lexia?
Out here, Marcia. On the veranda.
I can almost believe my sisters were glad to see me stay.
Lexia, what are you doing?
The two chairs that belong together. I'm placing them by the window, where we can see the road and follow the carriage's departure along it into the far, far distance.
How clever of you to think of that. Plan it and execute the plan. One can see how you became a general.
Oh, yes. I have been recognized as clever in my time. Also, the officers who were senior to me did die off somewhat prematurely.
Then how clever of you to outlive them. Lexia, do you think we shall live into old age?
Oh, as for myself, I have not that far to go.
Oh, what nonsense. You are only 42.
Mm-hmm.
And I am 20 years younger than that. It's once again Irina's 20th birthday. Mm-hmm. The party guests will soon be coming along the avenue of fir trees that still stands in the garden. Solioni, Tusenbach, the doctor with his silly samovar, Brother Andres tuning his fiddle in readiness for the dancing.
That was yesterday, Marcia.
And for you, only today is real.
Well, just this once, Marcia. We'll celebrate your yesterday and dream of a better tomorrow.
Better? There'll be no grand passion in it, Lexia. Not now. There'll be very little peace or tranquility. It won't be much of a life.
Not much. Just the best that we can make of it.
In After Moscow by Arnold Yarrow, Olga was played by Dinah Sheridan, Marcia by Isabel Dean, and Irina by Thelma Whiteley. Their sister-in-law, Natasha, was played by Judy Parfitt, and her children, Bobik and Sophia, were played by Jeffrey Perry and Patience Tomlinson. You heard Timothy West as Vashinin, John Carson as Protopopov, Brian Carroll as Davidov, and Gordon Reed as the young man on the railway station. After Moscow was directed by Christopher Venning.